Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Looking at this economy, you might believe this is the wrong time to be thinking about new jewelry. Well, think again. Gold has never been more valuable than it is today. If you have old jewelry gathering dust in a box because it is broken or out of style, now is the best time in history to cash it in or to redesign it at Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Let Abbott Taylor Jewelers' 35 years of trusted service to the Tucson community turn your old jewelry into breathtaking jewelry designs. At the same time you save money, you can help save the environment. Since for every ounce of gold you recycle, you are preventing approximately 30 tons of toxic waste, which is produced in the mining of a single ounce of new gold. Cash it in or redesign it. Either way, think green, save green, and turn your friends green with envy over your new Abbott Taylor original. Locally owned, international quality, Abbott Taylor Jewelers and Diamond Brokers at 6383 East Grant Road or on the web at atdiamonds.com.
Welcome again to the second hour here of Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. We are live for the balance of the show. Again, our call-in line is 751-1041, or toll-free, it's 877-544-2580. Well, as always, it's a pleasure for me to welcome not just any guest in the studio, but one who actually, as well as backing our show, as a financial sponsor, and that's Abbott Taylor from Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, Zara.
Well, again, it's great. Last time we did this was over a year ago, February of 2009. So we've got some time to fill in the blanks. Let me offer a brief introduction for those of you who may not be aware of Abbott. Go West, young man, was the calling for Abbott, an aspiring musician and university trained in physics, philosophy, and the fine arts, and his wife, who were expecting their first child at the time. They left the East Coast to head to California in a remodeled bread truck, complete with a piano in the back and a water tank on top, and Tucson instead became a permanent stop along that way, with Abbott's responding then to a newspaper ad for a goldsmith's apprentice. And now here we are, over 35 years later, his being the genius behind one of our finest custom-designed jewelry stores, Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Over the years, Abbott discovered that not only could he create intricate pieces of jewelry to rival any major jewelry house in the country, but that he also had an exquisite talent for designing original pieces of art. And rather than always following the current trends in the industry, Abbott continues to take his inspiration from such diverse sources as art, dance, music, poetry, and nature. And his intuitive sense about the structure of jewelry and expanding hand craftsman technique and experimentation with technology have really produced pieces not seen elsewhere in the world of jewelry. Abbott believes, quite frankly, if you can imagine a piece, he can make it. And the same goes for his approach to growing and changing his business, being open to new approaches and perspectives. So that journey continues, right?
Wow, you make me blush.
and you don't have to show that on the radio, right?
No.
Well, Abbott, that story about responding to that first ad, was it just something that popped out at you when you were flipping through the newspaper? Do you remember?
Well, at the time, it just seemed like a lot nicer idea than selling Electrolux vacuum cleaners, which is why I went to that place. For my interview with Electrolux vacuum cleaners, I had to wait a little bit. And the guy before me had left his classified ads on his chair, and right there in the middle of it was an ad for an apprentice to a jeweler here in town, and it sounded fun to me. And I walked down the street. I walked out of that place and never went back there, and I walked into a wholesale trade shop, and the owner of the trade shop had great need for some hands and hopefully with more talent than mine. But no one else showed up, so I ended up getting the job.
And don't you love it? I often tell people when they're in transition is that what it is might indeed be right in front of your nose, but until you give it some distance and open your eyes wider, you might miss it.
Yeah.
And you didn't. Well, I also love this whole story then of we've talked about this in our last show and how your work has progressed over the years, and that here in the last few years you've actually embraced what a lot of artists have run from, and that would be leveraging the computer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went kicking and screaming to the computer. I really thought, as an artist, you jump into a computer and you're stuck in electronic boxes for the rest of your life. And that's not what I thought an artist was. I mean, how can you be a creative artist inside a computer? Well, I found out you can. You can. Not only that, you can really thrive and grow and mature in directions that you never had an opportunity to do before.
And if you could explain to our listeners, of course, I'm ever the engineer and my husband Ted is as well. And first time we visited your shop, while everything was razzle-dazzling in the beautiful display cases, we were more interested in seeing, you know, how are you doing this in the back room and taking it all the way to CNC to make the mold? So maybe you can help our listeners understand, when we say computer, it isn't just clip art you're doing, or it isn't anywhere in that space. It's modeling.
Well, for 30 years before I went into the computer with this, everything that we made was done by hand. Hand-carved waxes sculpted from a block of wax, melted in an oven, and turned into a custom-designed piece of jewelry.
In fact, you have walls and walls of all those
molds now. We have about, I don't know, about 6,000 molds and models that are my designs, that are original designs that I carved, that we cast, that we made an impression of to make a secondary model after that piece was first made. And we hold those molds, and I've had them all these years. But, you know, your hands are not made to do the intricate kind of detail that your eyes and your mind know they can create. Well, that's why I went into the computer. Mm-hmm. Actually, a friend of mine here in town who was rather new in the jewelry business came in one day with a piece she had designed using the software program, and it blew me away. I mean, here was somebody who in a very, very short period of time was able to create something that was so detailed and so gorgeous, it blew me away. I was excited about it, and I had to look into it myself.
Good
and
for you.
It grabbed me by the teeth and dragged me into the computer, and I've been there ever since, and I love it because it's really exploded my opportunities for growth in design.
Exactly. For those of you who may be web streaming us right now and you want to see what Appen's talking about, is go to www.atdiamonds.com, Abbott Taylor Diamonds, and you can see it, the amount of gold filigree and the intricacy, but even just your ability to embed as many stones as you can to be able to fit the insets, the prongs. And the human hand probably couldn't pull that off.
Well, with great, great difficulty. Obviously, over the years, people have done it for centuries. Yeah. But my poor little hands were limited by the size of the tools and the size of my clumsy fingers. My mind, on the other hand, was saying, you know, you can fit so much design into that area. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
And so now all this lacy detail and filigree work that I've been trying to do for years, it becomes second nature to me, and I employ it in a lot of my designs now.
Exactly. I think the other piece I recall in looking at a beautiful ring that you made, obviously for my husband, was the idea that the three-dimensional nature of the work allowed just a completely seamless design. You'd never know where it started or when it finished.
Well, that takes some work and a little bit of magic, too.
I think that's the artist that will never be replaced by the computer. Well, you know, I have to comment, though. I read here in your introduction that at the university you were trained in physics, so I would say that's your math and science coming out of you. Philosophy, just in your view, but then also the fine arts. And so I think for the balance of our show, we'd actually like to talk about this other career you've always maintained, and if anything, it's what started to draw you across the country, and that was your music.
Yeah. Well, music for me started listening to my mother play Chopin on the piano every night. I loved listening to it. We went to bed listening to my mother in the living room playing the piano.
Yeah.
And my brother, who's got a wonderful gift for loving music, although not so much for playing it or singing it, introduced me. He was 5 years older, so he introduced me to jazz, blues, rock and roll at an early age, and I loved it and listened to it. Although not always allowed by my parents in the house, we listened to the stuff that was pretty raucous at the time. When I was growing up, my parents gave me a deal. They said, look, you have to learn an instrument. Got to learn an instrument. You can learn the piano, keyboards, saxophone, trumpet, whatever you want to play is fine with us, but you have to learn it. And then as you grow older, if you want to change and do something else, that's fine. I don't know why I picked it, but I picked clarinet, and I hated clarinet. It was horrible. It was painful. For 8 years, I was required to do it, but I did it, and I learned it. I played in concert bands and the school orchestra and stuff like that, but just hated it until my sophomore year in high school, when I had fulfilled my 8 years of slavery to the clarinet, and I ended up joining a rock and roll band because that was the music I loved.
That's right.
I wanted to play it. And I learned how to play with three fingers, one chord, and then I learned a total of three chords, with which my first band learned three songs, and we played them over and over again for our first gig, which was a kind of a one of those fluke mistakes that happens. And we played all the way through high school, college, and I played all the way across the country, and I played music all my life. Never could earn a living at it, though. It was horrible. At the time, when I was in high school, mind you, we used to make 50, 75 bucks a man a night, which was wonderful for a high school kid. That's a lot of money.
You bet.
Well, it's not enough to raise a family. And today, they don't earn very much more than that. It's horrible, the music scene. But the fun part was I got to play with my friends.
Exactly, yeah.
I played in all of the parties, house parties, the pool parties, the different nonprofit groups and whatnot. And we were stars. You know, in high school we were stars. We opened up for Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs at our junior high prom. And we were kings of the high school.
What memories that you had.
Yeah.
And I recall back in February of 2009, you came on the show. Of course, we played some cuts from a CD that you had done. Remind me the name of your CD again.
A Year of Mondays.
A Year of Mondays, because
yes.
Every Monday,
my best friend and I, Chuck Goldschmidt, who's from my hometown, who we met up with about 10 years ago, we started playing music, and every single Monday, which is my business day off from Abbott Taylor Jewelers, Chuck and I play music. And we have recorded all of our music in the studio, and A Month of Mondays is the result.
I love it. Well, when we had that discussion, of course, back in 2009, you were flying higher than a kite, because just the night before, you had gotten a tip or a potential introduction to someone in the jazz world, and you said, but I can't talk about it on the air because I'm not sure if it's really going to manifest in any way, shape, or form. And lo and behold, here we are today, and just a week ago or so, you had that opportunity to indeed connect with that individual. So tell us what has transpired in this year.
Well, you know, at my stage in life, my goal with music is certainly not to become a, you know, to play in bars every night. I don't want to do that. That's, I'm 60 years old, you know, what the heck. But to bring my music to another level, I really wanted to get some really fine, high-end professional musicians to record with me. And I've been lucky enough to work with some wonderful people. Mr. Boogie Woogie, Grams and Krieger, Ralph Gilmore, Chuck Goldschmidt are all wonderful musicians here in town that I've played with over the years to record this music. But I got an introduction to one of the all-time masters of saxophone, Mr. Pee Wee Ellis. Now, Pee Wee Ellis was the musical director for James Brown and did all of the horn sections and all of the composition for horns for not only James Brown for 10 albums, but also for Van Morrison, as well as a lot of other fabulous people. He's on some 200 different albums worldwide that have sold literally hundreds of millions of albums. And Pee Wee Ellis turns out to be a very, very close friend to an old high school friend of mine.
This idea of the circles, they come
back. Yeah, they do come back. And she heard our music and she said, you know, I really think you ought to send a copy of this to a friend of mine, Pee Wee Ellis. And I said, oh my God, what are you kidding me? He's Pee Wee Ellis. And she said, do it, just do it. Just don't even think about it. Put it in the mail, send it out, get rid of it. Take it out of your hands and put it in the hands of somebody else and see what happens. If nothing happens, you're no worse off.
That's true.
So I did. And about, well, the night before our interview, got a phone call from Pee Wee Ellis. And he goes, you know, this stuff is fresh, it's new, and it's right up my breadbasket. I love this stuff, and maybe we can do something together. We got to, you know, let's talk about it. So a few months later, I went to New York City, and on a cold day in New York City, on a street corner, waiting for his wife to come out from a hospital visiting her sister, I met Pee Wee Ellis, and we talked. And it was snowing out, and it was cold and freezing. And we said, well, let's do it. And it took a year to put it all together, but I had him come out. And just last week, Wednesday and Thursday, Pee Wee Ellis met me in a recording studio, Jim Brady's recording studio here in Tucson. And we got Rob Boone, who plays a fabulous trombone, and Rick Perrone, who plays a wonderful trumpet, and Hurricane Carla Brownlee, who is a wonderful old lady who plays a fabulous baritone saxophone. And the four of them got together in the studio, and Pee Wee Ellis wrote the horn charts for the other people, and they recorded seven of my songs.
That's great. Well, with that, I think we're going to play one of those songs that you wrote called Pray for the Children. Before we do you want to give us just a little bit of background on the lyrics and how you came to that song?
You know, children have always been important to me, both for my children, but seeing other people's children and watching what they have to go through sometimes in life. And I had just heard a report of a shooting, a drive-by shooting in the street, and someone was killed, and she was a young 8-year-old girl. And then I heard another story about death squads in Brazil, how they clean the streets because businesses don't want kids, you know, loitering around the fronts of their stores. I wrote this song.
Very beautiful. With that, we'll play, and this is Abbott Taylor and his new colleagues that came here in the circle together to play music called Pray for the Children.
Children living in the city, walking down the street, blown away by the bullets from some useless creep. The shooter drives by laughing in his funky old car, gets a thrill from the drop, doesn't even know who they are. So I pray for the children.
I pray for the children.
Why don't we pray for the children? Every little boy and girl
all around the world.
Children starved by politicians, sold by merchants in the street. They're killed by death squads in jail just to keep some cities neat. How can we be so damned inhuman to these children on their knees? We're even worse off than our ancestors living in the trees. So I pray for the children.
Pray for the children.
Why don't we pray for the children? Every little boy and girl
all around the world.
My face looks me in the eye, says I'm presumptuous. He don't even try to lie, tells me he don't give a damn about these kids I speak, 'cause of their color or the country is politically weak. So I pray. Yes, I pray for the children.
Pray for the children.
Why don't we pray for the children? Every little boy and girl, you see their suffering faces on the TV every night. Your gut is screaming out that it just ain't right. So if it seems as wrong to you as it does to me, give a dollar, give a damn, shout it in the streets and pray for the children. Why don't we pray for the children, every little boy and girl
all around the world?
Why don't we tell all the children,
we tell all the children
that we care for them,
care for them.
Have mercy on the children.
Have mercy.
Pray for the children.
That is a great piece. And I just gathered this is the first time it's been aired then, right?
It is.
There we go.
And I have to tell you, the drummer on this piece is Jimmy Cobb. Jimmy Cobb was the drummer for Miles Davis and John Coltrane on Kind of Blue, which is the largest selling jazz album of all time, just had its 50th year reunion, and he traveled the world as the National Endowment for the Arts jazz master of a lifetime, Jimmy Cobb.
So what are you feeling like right now? I mean, this is like, you got to be the consummate kid in a candy store.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's like, you know, it's very dreamlike.
Yeah.
All this stuff coming together. You know, it's music that I've always been proud of and loved, but to have these people play on it really brings it to a level that I just never expected in my lifetime, and I love it.
Well, and to know that you have no idea now where this is going to take you as well.
I don't.
You don't?
No, it's just a new beginning.
It
really is.
It's a new beginning.
It's a new direction in my life, and if something happens, wonderful, but just having achieved it alone just lifts me up. It's a wonderful thing to have.
Well, and I think also we come back to that introduction that I said that your mission, you know, your original step was to move across the country and get involved in the music scene, and your life took you in a different direction.
Well, it only took me 40 years.
But... That's like my husband who didn't finish his undergraduate degree until he was 50. And he says, yeah, I was kind of on the 30-year plan, but not to discount all the wonderful things you've done in these 40 years, though. Because in some regard, boy, you would not necessarily discover jewelry. And
I would have never traded the rest of my life, because doing the jewelry thing was a wonderful way to employ my artistic talents, do something artistic and earn a living at it, and it allowed me to raise my family in a way that we couldn't have done if I was a musician. And I never let music go. So I have three wonderful children, a wonderful grandson, a wife that I've been married to for 36 years. And I don't think it would have been the same if I had started and ended with music.
Well, I think the other thing we should say is it's not like you're planning to phase out your jewelry business at all either. That's
no.
A whole nother thriving part of who you've become and who you are. But to see these two being able to live in the and, as I say, instead of choosing the tyranny of the or at this phase of your life. Well, great. Well, Abbott Taylor Jeweler, again, Abbott Taylor Jeweler, your institution, of course, institution here in Tucson, Abbott Taylor, thank you, as always, again, for being part of the show today, but also your belief in the work and the mission that we've got with this show.
Thank you, Zara.
Very good.
Came home late just the other night, dinner cold, and the candle shed some sad, sad light. My bags in hand at the station, but the train
smelled of whiskey on my breath. She slept in the bathroom just like some household guest. My bags in hand at the station, that train gone. She was so tired of all my excuses and the repetition of my same old song. She said, "Don't come late no more to that platform." Ticket streaked by all the tears, tired and crumbled from all those sad and lonesome years. My bags in hand at the station, that train gone.
Chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.